We're starting a two-week series on generosity with a specific application of giving to the local church. And the reason why we're doing this right now, well, we're doing this because it's good to teach on this. It's a biblical principle that we need to explore on, that we need to learn on, that we're all kind of involved in. The reason that we're doing it right now is because as a church community, we're facing a couple of decisions, specifically when it comes to our upcoming relocation that will happen before the month of April. That will also deeply affect our finances. And so in this year, we're facing decisions, we're facing a new financial situation. So we find it important and good to address this right now. Not because at this moment there's a direct financial need. We have been able to finish again this last year financially in the black and not in the red, as we have for the last 7 or 8 years. So that's going well. But we want to invite you at this specific time into the grace of giving, into the grace of sacrificial generosity towards the local church, because we believe it's a good time and it's an important time. And the new location will likely or quite surely have a higher financial demand on us and on our budget. So it's important to address this from the pulpit right now. And the verse that jumps out to me from this passage, just when it comes to our church, is he opens like, but you excel in everything. You excel in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you. See that you excel in this act of grace as well. Before I continue, I need to mention that generosity, in the biblical sense, is about far more than our giving to the local church. It's about more than that. It is a prominent aspect of the generosity that we're called to, but it's the principle of generosity is much broader. Christians are called to be generous in this very broad sense, generous in our love, generous in our time, in our hospitality, in a readiness to love and to serve others, both inside and outside the church. So generosity, or I love the Dutch word, ruimhartigheid, having a spacious heart, having space in your heart for others. And sometimes the Dutch just come up with really great words that I don't have a good translation for, but let me help you with that. So that's the principle of generosity. It's about having space in your heart for others. And all Christians, in every way, we're called to do that. We need to be generous to the King and to the kingdom, giving up our lives to serve him, giving our time, giving our talents, giving our prayer, giving our efforts. Yeah, because of what I just mentioned, and because of this, the stage we are at with the church, we've chosen to mainly focus the practical application when it comes to generosity on giving to the local church, knowing that it's not the only thing that we're talking about, and the principles that we're talking about apply further, but the practical application focus of this series is on giving to the local church. So Paul addresses the church in Corinth. He says, you guys are doing so well. In many ways, you're very generous. Your faith is earnest. Like your love is incredible. And you know so much and you're doing so many great things. You know, with Paul, it's always like, is he being kind of sarcastic or is he being truthful? Is he kind of luring them into something? Let's just take this at face value. Like, they're doing great at a lot of things. After their first letter that they received, which is quite harsh, they learned a lot. And so now he's complimenting them on the great things that they're doing in the church right now. He says, you're doing so many things so well. You're so healthy in so many ways. And now I also invite you to excel in generosity, in the grace of giving. And I think just in all honesty, I think it connects well to where we are at with our church as well. As I consider our church, I think we're doing so well in so many areas. Every time we introduce new people here in the church after Discover Vineyard, what do they say? I feel so welcome here. I feel so welcome. It's such a welcoming church, such a loving community. It just every time, and over the whole time I've been here, it's almost 7 years now, this is the thing that comes back time and time again. We're such a loving community. Every community has got their challenges and their things, but overall, we're such a loving and welcoming community. We're doing so well in that. I think we're also doing quite well. We're taking really good steps in the area of discipleship. We've been focusing on discipleship, what it means to radically follow Jesus with all of your life. And we're seeing just that people are taking great steps in that. Also in prayer and in devotion and in worship. I've seen our kids ministry step up over the years. Yeah, we're in a way we're struggling forward, but we're struggling forward. It's always like attention and effort and growing demands, more and more kids coming to our kids ministry, but we're moving forward with the kids ministry. I see us stepping up also as a community of parents who serve each other and to support each other in how to raise up your kids in this day and age in a Christian way. It's good. We're moving forward. We've seen numerical growth. We're not about numerical growth, but if you want to come, you're welcome. We will make space for you, and we want to steward what God is doing and steward the people that God is bringing our way. And so we've seen numerical growth in our church community, and it's got to be a sign that something is going well. Yet in all of this, we've also seen that the level of our financial giving is staying pretty much the same. It is steady, as it has been for years, and we're in a good place. We're also very aware of our limited budget, and so we make sure to not overspend, and we're quite conservative in our budgeting because we have to take into account the nature of our church community and flow through with people. But it has not grown along with all the other areas of growth that we have seen. And it's not growing along with the phase that we're entering as a church community as well, with its new demands and its new opportunities. The point of this series is not to do a one-time building campaign or something, because we're not buying a building or something like that. We have no decisions made on our future location yet, also because the right thing has not really popped up yet. But we know that we will need to take a step forward with our monthly giving in order to also take a step forward to a new location and to open the new possibilities of mission and ministry that we are entering into as a church community into a time of flourishing. So that's why we're timing it for right now and at the start of the year. Welcome back from your holidays and everything. We're talking about giving. If you're new here in church, this is not something that we always do. Actually, we've under-addressed the whole topic of giving over the last couple of years. The approach in this series will be to invite you to consider your monthly giving to the church for this coming year. So we're not talking about raising funds for a big investment, not like a big one-time, like give all you got type of thing. But we're inviting you to a like continuous process of generosity towards the local church. So it's really about how we prioritize the kingdom when we make our financial decisions in our own budgets. Now, teaching on generosity, I'm highly aware, is always sensitive. There's always a buzz in the room of like, how is he going to do this? And how do I feel about this? And people may feel a sense of discomfort. And for one part, it's got to do that our world economy is so focused on getting rich, making money, luring people into spending more and exploiting consumers. It's like everywhere we go, we are dressed as consumers or as products, not really as people. Did you know that every service that you're not paying for, you're actually the product? This is one Netflix documentary, I don't even call it, like about the network, about social media and stuff, like just this awareness. Like if you're not paying for the product, you are the product, you know, and otherwise you're the consumer. Either way, they want you and they want your money. And this we've got this high awareness, like, what's the hidden message? Like, what am I not seeing? What is not coming to the surface? I just want to tell you this. When we're talking about giving in the church, I am not addressing you as consumers. You're not a consumer of this church community. I'm definitely also not addressing you as products. Yeah? I'm addressing you as stakeholders. in our business. You are participants in this whole thing. You are stakeholders, you're shareholders. How do you say this well? It's like you are part of this, and together we're talking about where the church is going. Yeah. And we're talking about motivations for giving as it applies to the local church. What motivates us to give generously or even sacrificially to the church? And as we talk about this, I know this may also bring up some difficult feelings for other reasons. Maybe the church that you were in or the churches you've been in the past have not addressed this in the best way. And maybe this is almost like tearing open old scars for you. I hope we'll be able to do that in a way that we can clean out the infection underneath, but not to cause any more pain. Let me give you some examples of unhealthy ways that churches can address the topic of generosity in church. One is legalism. If you are stingy, if you're not giving enough, you are robbing God, and you don't want to rob God, do you? Or how about the prosperity one that you may be familiar with? If you give more, God will bless you more. If you give sacrificially, God will make you rich. Maybe the pressure, like you have to give. It's your duty. Don't you care about the kingdom? Or how about this one? Slightly more subtle, still quite devastating, an overemphasis on giving, a constant demand on giving. Always with freedom, always welcoming, but still, you feel like you're a product. You feel like you're feeding the church machine that helps the pastor's platform to grow. And there's a constant demand on your money, a constant demand on your free generosity. I'm committed to teach on this topic in the best way that I can. And I've had some great help in this from our leadership team and others as well. And hope that this teaching will heal maybe some of the old wounds, because this is a beautiful principle in Scripture. And I hope I'll be able to draw some of that out. And so our approach will be a healthy and honest teaching on the importance of generosity as it applies to giving to the local church that is rooted in the gospel. No legalism, no prosperity, no pressure, and no ulterior motives. And also no false promises on health and wealth when it comes to your generosity, nor a denial of God's blessing and provision as we seek his kingdom first. So let's dive in. I first need to address the context of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. So we're focusing in these two, like in a window of two Sundays, two different chapters, 2 Corinthians 8, 2 Corinthians 9. This is the kind of largest body of teaching on generosity in the New Testament. And the direct context, actually, is that Paul is raising an offering from the churches in the Greek-speaking world for the church in Jerusalem. This is, of course, where the gospel has come from, where Jesus walked, where the crucifixion and the resurrection happened, and the first church kind of happened, Pentecost happened, and from Jerusalem, all the other churches started. So they were sending out missionaries. Not willingly, they were chased out of Jerusalem as well, but they were going there first to Antioch and then to all these other places in the Greek-speaking world. These churches started, but it all started with the Church of Jerusalem. And now the Church of Jerusalem is going through a tough time because there's a big famine. And Paul is raising up an offering just to be a blessing to kind of the roots of the gospel, to bless the people in Jerusalem, to bless the church there. And so it's taking time. He's traveling around, so it's a multiple year project. But he's doing that to give the churches in the Greek-speaking world an opportunity to bless the church in Jerusalem. So Paul is addressing the church in Corinth about this, to participate in a one-time offering for basically for relief work. So that context is different from the context right now. We're talking about our ongoing giving to the local church. And Paul's more talking about a sort of one-off relief project that's going above and beyond their regular giving to their local church. But Paul is talking about generosity in ways and with principles that apply much broader than this direct context. And so it is the best passage for us to go to for this time as we're talking about giving to the local church. And one thing that truly stands out in how Paul addresses the whole topic of generosity is that he roots it in the gospel. This is why we've entitled this series Gospel Generosity, because I want to emphasize that our deepest motivation for generosity, the specific application of giving to the local church, should be rooted in the gospel. Let me say that again. Our deepest motivation for generosity should be rooted in the gospel. Here's the key verse of the whole two chapters. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. The good news of Jesus Christ, the very gospel story, the reason why we're gathered here today, is a story of sacrificial generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The very foundation of this whole community is a story of generosity. Our Lord was rich, but he became poor so that we might have it all, so that we might become rich. Jesus gave it all so that we might have it all. That is the gospel. It connects well to how Paul phrases this in a letter to another church, to the church in Philippi. He says, have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, be imitators of Christ, this whole way of Christ, that is your way of discipleship as well. Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So this is talking about the incarnation. He left the throne room of heaven. He left the riches of heaven to become a very simple human being. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross, the most humbling and the most terrible way to die. He embraced that way to die. Why? So that we could have it all, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be restored into relationship with the Father, so that we could become children of God, so that we would have eternal life. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a message of abundant, sacrificial, over-the-top, unbelievable, indescribable generosity. And therefore, Paul calls generosity, both in the broad sense of how we live as generous people, but also giving to the local church, he calls it an act of grace. It's an act that proclaims the gospel. It's an act that testifies to the gospel. It's an act that retells the very gospel story. Every time we give, certainly when we give sacrificially, which is hard and is painful, but it's beautiful, we're proclaiming the gospel. Nathan Harris, in the book Gospel Generosity, guess where I got the title from, says this: generosity is rooted in the gospel, sprouts from the gospel, and bears fruit because of the gospel. Giving is not merely a virtue for the Christian life. It is a cheerful disposition that springs forth from the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. And this is the type of generosity that we're inviting you into as well. A generosity that is a response to the gospel, and a generosity that seeks to advance the gospel. And so in the rest of this message, we're going to talk about how this translates into motivations to give. And actually, Paul, he points the Corinthian church that he's inviting into the grace of giving, that they're not doing so well on this yet. So please also excel in this, he tells them. He points them to another church in Macedonia. And he says this about them: We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, that doesn't sound great, does it? A severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. So what marks the generosity of these heroes in Macedonia? Well, first, the generosity was sacrificial. It cost them something. They gave in spite of their poverty. They didn't have so much to give, but what they have, they gave. It's clear in the words that Paul used here that their generosity really cost them something. It was sacrificial. They sacrificed something, some of their own comfort, some of the things that they needed. They sacrificed it on behalf of others. As like the way Jesus sacrificed himself. Generosity, by definition, is sacrificial. It has to cost you something. And in this sense, giving to the local church is also different from like paying your monthly gym membership. How many of you started in January paying your gym members, don't put up your hands. You know, that when you pay your gym membership, that comes with a mindset of exchange. Yeah, I'm paying something so that I can get something. And either your demands are like, I want to pay as little as possible to be able to work out as much as I can. Or you're like, no, I have high demands. I want the wellness. And I want the treat. I want the massages as well. I want the smoothies as well. So you pay a high gym membership. But in whatever way, whatever your demands are, whatever your choices are there, it comes with a mindset of exchange. I'm giving something so that I can get something, right? You pay a gym membership. You give to the local church. Very different. Now, we also get the benefit from being part of the local church. And so there's also a motivation for us to give. I mean, we give, we realize it's important for us as well, and what it does in our lives and what it does in our families as well. But gospel generosity really still is very different, because we're not looking at our church thinking, how much is this worth to me? What is the price quality ratio here? Is this good value for money? But we give sacrificially because we believe that it's a worthy cause. We give sacrificially in response to the gospel and in order to advance the gospel. And we know that God wants to do this through the local church. Now, the Macedonians were also generous in the sense that it was joy-filled. There was no pressure put on these people. I think Paul, perhaps he even saw their poverty and it was like, let me just not mention about the whole offering thing for Jerusalem, because this is really not the right place to do so. Like, they're already like... I think he may have been hesitant to even bring it up, but as soon as they found out, they begged him, can we participate in this grace of giving as well? He's like, yeah, sure, if you really want to, you can. And then they're like, they're bringing everything they have. It's like Moses that's like bringing, like inviting the people of Israel to bring offerings for the tabernacle, and they bring more than what they actually need, and he has to stop them. Like, no, okay, we have enough gold to kind of mold into this and that and that, and like, we've got enough. This is true gospel generosity, when we can give with joy and with vision. I mean, it's an absolute privilege to be able to contribute also in this way to advance the gospel and to see the flourishing of the local church. It's yet another way that the Lord is inviting us to partner with him to build the kingdom. It's this giving with an attitude like, yes, Lord, thank you. You invite me to partner with you, to advance the gospel, to build your kingdom here on earth. What a privilege it is, not just with my time, not just with my talents, not just with my prayers and my care and my love, but even my finances, you redeem them. And I get to give to you and I get to advance your kingdom here on earth. What a privilege it is. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of giving. That's me at the start of every month. Macedonians, their generosity was also God-focused. Paul says they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us. They saw the support of their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem as a gift directly unto the Lord. They saw it as a huge favor, as a huge privilege for themselves, to be able to participate in this act of grace. Here's the thing, we send money to the bank account of the local church, but we give unto the Lord. Again, I'm obviously skipping being generous to causes outside of the local church, as many of us do, and that's really great. Please continue doing that. The application today is focused. But as you read through the New Testament, especially the early church history of the book of Acts, much of the generosity and the sacrificial giving that you see is towards the church. Therefore, what you give and how you give, it is also between you and God. Your giving is between you and God. In Vineyard, we make a point of having as few people as possible having insight in who gives what. It's really just our treasurer and one other person that handles the finances. I, for example, do not know, and I don't need to know, and I don't want to know. Now, usually when people emphasize, you know, my giving is between me and God, that's a way of backing out of giving altogether. That's a way of sort of like, I give very little, and I don't need anyone to know. It's between me and God. He understands. He's so loving. He's so great. He's so graceful. Actually, if when the Bible says that something is between you and God, usually that's supposed to put a little bit more sort of fear of the Lord in you. Like, listen, it's between you and the Lord. Like we don't have anything to do with it. It's between you and the Lord. Let it not be the way for us that we're throwing God our leftovers. Let it be different for us. Understanding that it's between me and the Lord means that my giving is covered under grace. There is no obligation. It is not a matter of salvation, but it's something that we carry responsibility over before the Lord. How much do we value the kingdom? Are we willing to seek the kingdom first above all other things? Are we ready to put our money where our mouth is and where our prayers are? Let's follow the flow of the passage. So after this, I need to round off. Paul starts to point people to the gospel as the root for the giving. And then he continues with a couple more motivations. And the first one is readiness. So verse 10 to 12. And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also the desire to do it. Now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. So generosity should come from a readiness to give. Ultimately, it's an issue of the heart. Are you ready to do this? Has the kingdom captivated your heart in such a way that you're willing to put the kingdom first, also in the area of your finances? Are we ready to give and to give sacrificially? So that's a consideration that I'd like to give to you today. In the kingdom, generosity is neither an obligation nor an option. Generosity is an opportunity to display the gospel, to worship Jesus with everything that you have, and to advance the kingdom. And the last motivation that Paul gives in this whole passage in 2 Corinthians 8 is in verse 13 and 15. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. It's a bit surprising, but one of Paul's motivations for giving is fairness. It's important that generosity is something that the whole church community carries. And so it doesn't really matter if you have a lot or if you have a little. We're all invited to the act of grace of giving generously. It's for all God's people. In response to the gospel, we are invited to sacrificially give back unto God from our time, from our talents, from our treasure, to serve the local church so that the gospel may advance. This is an invitation to all Christians, so that together we can carry the responsibility. There's not only fairness, but really there's a shared ownership, and so there's a shared celebration. It's a privilege and a responsibility that we carry together. So in summary, generosity should be rooted in the gospel. As Jesus Christ has given everything for us, so it is our privilege and response to give sacrificially back to him as a way to worship him, as a way to proclaim the gospel, and as a way to advance the gospel. Gospel generosity is a joy and a privilege, an act of grace from the overflow of the heart. It's a way to seek the kingdom first above all else, and to together carry the responsibility of the church community as we are moving forward to reach our city with the good news of Jesus Christ. Next week, we want to give you an opportunity to make a pledge about your giving for this year. Anita, we'll have little cards that you can fill out where you say, I'm pledging to give this amount every month to the church. I need to clarify. A pledge, not a promise. A pledge is more like an intention. Through the pledge card, you can anonymously, I don't need to know who gives what or is intending to give what. Anonymously, you kind of give an indication of what you intend to give on a monthly basis to the church after receiving this teaching, after praying about it in the coming week, and after discussing it with your spouse, if applicable. This indication will also help us kind of set the budget for this year, where we know it's going to have higher financial demands than in the previous years. So I just want to ask you to take this message home, to take this into the consideration, and be ready next week to fill out that pledge card after another teaching on generosity. I hope this helped you. I hope this was healing. Maybe some of the wounds that you had, or some of the discomfort you had with the whole topic, and it's redeemed, really rooted in the gospel. Please remember that our giving to the church and our generosity in general should be rooted in the gospel. Let me end there with prayer. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up to lead us in one final song. We're doing the service plan a little bit different today. So we're ending this with one final song. Let me close this off with prayer. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of giving to your kingdom, of giving unto you, of seeking your kingdom first, also in the area of our finances, which is a big deal. It is something that we're thinking about quite often. It is a big part of our lives. And this part of our lives also, we want to dedicate to you. We want to put it under your lordship. We want to invite you to redeem it. We want to invite you to bless it. We want to invite you to help us to use it to advance your kingdom. Because in the end, we want to seek your kingdom first. In the end, it is a church that is going out into this world with a message of hope, with a message of truth, with the message of the gospel, that Jesus was rich but became poor for our sake so that we might become rich, so that we might have the full inheritance of the kingdom, so that we might have eternal life. And Lord, you're inviting us as stakeholders into this whole project. And gladly we say yes to your invitation. Thank you for the privilege of partnering with you to build your kingdom, also in the area of our finances. Thank you, Lord. Amen.